Today on Real Life Radio.
In John 15:18, Jesus said, don't be surprised, the world's gonna hate you, but don't be upset about it, it hated me first. Serving others and being hated by the world, that's us. If we're gonna walk with Jesus, if we're gonna follow him, that's the way it's gonna be.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Those Who Follow Jesus, Part 2. Now, the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only really Luke the physician could do. Here, as we continue in chapter 6, Luke tells us that the ministry of Jesus was the very spirit of a hands-on ministry. You see, as Jesus is our master, we're to follow him wherever he leads. Those of us who put our faith and trust in his hands are free from sin and its deadly hold on our lives. Like only Jesus can, he liberates us from being critical, selfish, and bitter. We can see clearly now, ready to follow his steps. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that those who follow Jesus will find out who they really are. You see, we'll examine our own weaknesses and see others through a lens of love, not to be critical, but to care enough to lead them toward Christ and the truth. Now in his message called, Those Who Follow Jesus, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
But if a leader or leaders come out and say, hey, we are your spiritual leaders. That's called, by the way, I think it's kind of gone now in a way. It'll be back, but it used to be called the shepherding movement. The shepherding movement in the 70s and 80s would tell people in their churches, you know what? I'll tell you what house to buy. I'll tell you who to marry. I'll tell you how much to give. I'll tell you if you can move or not. And it was very prevalent. It was all over the world, by the way. That is a Nicolaitan thinking, lords over the people. Jesus says, I hate it. If the ministry that you attend, if a ministry that you have as your home church is following, and that leadership, following Jesus and can point to verse and chapter as to what they do in context, then praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's getting hard to find ministries like that these days. Thank God. If not, get out. Run for the hills. Run for the valley, run for whatever, get out. But it's wrong. Why? We follow Jesus, we're gonna become more like him. And I love the truth of this, watch this. Okay, ushers. Lock them. Just lock them down. I'm gonna say something that might offend you, and yet it shouldn't offend you at all. Listen carefully, do I have your attention? If you're a Buddhist today, you study Buddhism so you can become more like Buddha and the teachings of Buddha. That should not offend you. You should probably be very proud of that because that's what you want to do. You follow Buddha because you believe in Buddha's teachings. And so you say, I'm a Buddhist. Okay, just know this. You will become like that which Buddha teaches. Every instructor in Buddhism would say, right on, that's true. Somebody who follows the teachings of Buddha is called a Buddhist, and what they do is obey what Buddha has to say. No problem. That shouldn't offend you. And the same exact thing, if you follow the teachings of Muhammad found in the Quran, you are called a Muslim. That's the way it is. You can't be a Muslim and follow Buddha. If you're a Muslim, you follow Muhammad. If you're following Muhammad and you obey the Quran, you should say, well, you know what? Jack, you're right. I mean, you're right. I am a Muslim. I follow Muhammad and I study the Quran. And that's right. I will become like him. If you're a Buddhist, you become like Buddha. If you are a Muslim, you become like Muhammad. You will become whom like the one influences your life. For example, if you're Hindu, now this is a tough one, Hinduism. If you're into Hinduism, you'll become like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other God things that are out there, whatever that is. But you say, no, that's me. That's what I want to do. Okay, that's what you will become. Don't apologize for it. Just understand that's the way it is. I am grateful that I am a Christian. I follow Jesus. My prayer is I want to become just like him. And I want to follow him all the way through to the end. In fact, I get upset when I'm not like him. Now, it's a good thing for you and the entire universe, everyone included, if I fulfill my mission. The more I'm like Jesus, the more I'm going to love you. The more I'm going to wash your feet. If I love Jesus, the more I'm going to feed you because you're hungry. The more I love Jesus, the more I'm going to make sure that you get the bigger piece of the pie, or that you get the best seat, or that you see what I'm saying? Follow the teachings of Jesus. Ask yourself, who do you want to follow? Ask yourself also this, all those other gods or those things that are worshiped as gods, ask yourself this, what have those gods done for those nations that follow them? Wake up and look. Look where religions go into countries and into communities and ask yourself, which one's better for life, both in this world and in the world to come? These are simple questions that none of us like to be asked because that causes us to look at our foundation. I thank God that Jesus is our foundation. Amen, church? Verse 40 tells us also that we're following Jesus and becoming more like Jesus when we're listening to what he has to say. He says a disciple is not above his teacher. This is a strong word. Two things are meant here by what Jesus has to say. A disciple is not greater or is not above his teacher. It means this. You will be loving. You'll serve others because that's what Jesus did. And we know all about that. In John chapter 13, Jesus said, I've washed your feet. So you turn now and wash one another's feet. Jesus says, I've taken care of you. Now you turn and take care of your brothers and sisters. That's true Christianity. Serving. Jesus says, you'll get this from your master. And the second thing that Jesus is implying is rejection. In John 15, 18, Jesus said, don't be surprised. The world's going to hate you, but don't be upset about it. It hated me first. Serving others and being hated by the world, that's us. If we're going to walk with Jesus, if we're going to follow him, that's the way it's going to be. They hate what you and I believe, but they sure want our benevolent money when something happens. Have you noticed? They hate your Bible. They won't let you pray in Jesus' name and remove those Ten Commandments. But won't you reach down in your pocket and help in the relief effort? Look and see the greatest amount of benevolence and where it comes from. I find it very beautiful that, for example, the tsunami relief in Thailand, Muslim nations that were hit by that tsunami, the greatest amount of independent monies, not governmental monies, independent monies that came to their aid came more from Christians than any other type of religion in the world. Why? Because the money we have is not ours anyway. It belongs to God. And you know what? We care about people no matter what color, no matter what nation, no matter what they believe in. Jesus died for them. Jesus loves them. Those who follow Jesus are becoming more like Jesus by doing what he's telling us, by doing what we're told to do. You say, I don't like the way that sounds, Pastor Jack. You're telling me what to do. I'm not telling you anything. Hear me out. Look at verse 40. But everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. This is precious. The student in this context loves the teacher, knows the teacher, wants to be like the teacher. If you respect, honor, look toward that person, you want to mimic. That's why Paul the Apostle said, as I follow Christ, follow me. Isn't that awesome? Now listen to this. If you've ever raised little boys. And I didn't raise little boys, but I've been to Home Depot enough to see little boys with their dads. And dad's walking around. And you know, he could be a CPA during the week, but you can't tell because it's Saturday morning. And his pants are tore. He's got concrete drying on his boots. He's got, you know, a booger on his cheek. I mean, his hair's messed up. Dad's dirty. He's got grease on him, and he's walking along, and, you know, and he's grabbing this, and he's getting a shovel, and And you see the four-year-old behind him. And the four-year-old's walking, and he's kind of got little plastic boots. He's got a little Fisher Price hammer. Have you seen that? The little construction hat's on sideways. And he's just following his dad. He's kind of like smearing his face. And it's so cute. What's he doing? He's mimicking his dad. Dad, let me tell you something. If you haven't thought about this lately, until that little boy finds out that the Lord is his God, you are like God to him. Man, that's why when you're an absolute ding-dong to your son or your daughter and you just do something stupid that you need to ask them to forgive you about, you blow it. Have you noticed how quick they respond back to you in acceptance? Kids are amazing. No wonder why Jesus said you got to become like a kid. I mean, you're like God to them. That's why a dad can turn and say, why don't you shut up? And it'd kill that kid. It'd destroy them. Or a father can turn and say, I don't care if you fell down 3 times. Get up, buddy, because you can do it. I know you can do it. And you only fell down 3 times. When I tried it, I fell down 7 times. Now, come on, let's go. We can do this. Really? Yeah. Get away from the computer. Unplug whatever's going on and teach your kid how to ride a bike again. It's absolutely a necessity that we do this. Moms, how precious. Now, we raised girls in our home. That's hilarious. Because I had no idea in the DNA of a child. Look, I was a boy. You get a toy as a kid and you break it in 5 minutes. That's a boy. You look at it, it's like, how do I break this? A little girl, she gets it, she's holding it. She's touching and calming and loving. And then you hear them come down the hallway. And you hear these oversized shoes. She's got Lisa's high heels on. Click, 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 down the hallway. This huge dress on with this, you know, stocking or something that they've made into a veil. And I remember Rebecca having flowers in her hands. And she's saying to me, will you marry me, Daddy? That's the best. What are they communicating? That's their world. And they mimic. They were mimicking mommy. It's beautiful. If that's true in the physical realm, is it not true even more so in the spiritual realm? It is true. It's a law of God, and he's made it that way. We will become like those who train us, and we want Jesus to train us. Those who follow Jesus are becoming more like him, and that we will live out what we know. Verse 40, simply quickly, we will be like his teacher. We will be like our teacher, and that word to become like is the word that means to move in the same direction, to go in the same way. Fourth point, and with the remainder of our time, we'll end on this one. It's verses 41 to 42. Our fourth point, those who follow Jesus are discovering who they really are. Who they really are. And that is found in when we take a proper look at ourselves. Church, jot this down if you would. Those who follow Jesus discover who we really are, and that's when we take a proper look at ourselves. This is so needed today. Jesus said in verse 41, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? I wish we could see this. You guys, are you listening, everyone? This is absolutely, remember I mentioned the word parable, bringing it to life? Now, God, who cannot lie, that's his nature. He cannot tell a lie. So what are we learning from this right here? Jesus is teaching in a way that is quite shocking to us. An exaggeration is a lie, but when God does it, it's a parabolic teaching. It's hard to explain. What do I mean? This is beautiful. Jesus is saying, now imagine we're all a bunch of kids and we're following him, right? You guys have that mindset on. Now watch. Jesus goes like this. Okay, we have a problem here. And here's the problem. You go around looking for specks in your brother's eyes. And you shouldn't be doing that. Okay, because when you walk around looking for a speck, you're never going to see it. And here's the reason why. You have a beam in your eye that is about 12 inches across, and it's about 11 to 15 feet long. That's the word he used. Do you see his dramatic teaching? In your mind's eye, you see this 6-foot man walking along with an 11-foot beam sticking out of his face. It's pretty funny. And that's exactly what Jesus wanted to leave in your mind, in the picture of your mind. How ridiculous is it of me to turn and to say to Phil, Phil this, or to say to Mike, Mike this, or to say to Karen, this, when I have a beam sticking out of my face of wrong. How can I correct someone about something that's wrong in their lives when I've got something so much worse going on in my life? Now, before you take this wrong, you need to hear this. What Jesus is saying is that we need to be loving enough toward someone that we care enough to tell them what's wrong rightly. You say, what do you mean? I thought we're not supposed to say anything at all. No, that would be apathy and complacency. That would not be love. If your brother or sister has some little microscopic wrong in their life, in their eye, before you go and point it out, you better first spend time alone with God to examine your own life. Why? Because you won't be proud when you go talk to them. Two, you'll be humble because you've seen your own weaknesses. Are you with me, everyone? It's awful quiet in here. This is very critical. We need to take a proper look at ourselves because we are to help our brothers and sisters, but church, it's got to be done right. You don't walk up to somebody and say, after reading this chapter today, woe unto you, hypocrite, scribe and Pharisee. You don't do that. What you do, are you ready? You need to listen. This needs to happen again in the Christian church because we've lost it. If we know that our friend at work is sleeping with the girl down at the other end of the hallway, okay? God says that's wrong. If we walk over there and say, hey, you know what? You're going to fry, buddy. I mean burn, toast, pff, boom, pff, sizzle on the grill. Man, you are going to go straight to hell. I hope you have asbestos underwear, buddy, because you are going down. Okay, that's wrong. Jesus said, judge not and condemn not. But we are supposed to be evaluators. Oh, why? Not to make yourself look better, but because we love someone. If you know that the guy you work with is sleeping with a girl at the end of the corridor, you're supposed to say to that guy, hey, Fred, listen, I know that you're sleeping with Bubbles at the end of the hallway. And listen, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to condemn you. That's not me. That's up to God. I just want you to know it's wrong. You're going to hurt your life. You're going to mess things up. The Bible calls it sin. It's not right what you're doing. And man, you need to change your life. You need to come to Jesus, buddy. You need to know the Lord. And I won't say a word. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to pray for you. And you can talk to me anytime you want. But I want you to know something. I found out about it. I heard about it. And I'm not judging you, but I'm praying for you. So the next time you're with her, God will. I won't be there. Of course not. But God will be there. Okay, Fred? So listen, you go have a really nice day now. And you didn't judge him. You loved him. You say, Jack, you know, that's very intolerant. Remember the train track? You let him stand on the track? Or you knock him off the track in love? Now here's what you do. You pray for him. Dear Lord, I pray the next time that Fred and Bubbles are alone, God, that you just make him throw up. Lord, just make her get sicker than a dog. Make it so they can't happen. God, may they, even if they get near each other, Lord, I pray, cause them to immediately think about what was said to him, that the Lord is with you in this moment, that God is there. Lord, may their affair be a disaster. God, cause them to repent and run home to their wives and husbands. Why am I praying that? Because Jesus loves them too. Jesus died on the cross for them too. because God cares for them. But God's not weak. God is righteous. God is holy. God will judge sin, and it will ruin your life. And so you pray. That is not judging. That is not condemning. That's truly caring for someone's life. And you know what? Christians have become so weak and spineless that they just turn their face around as though it's not even happening. And God even says, go tell them that I love them. I have a better way for them. They ought not to be doing this. And we pretend we didn't hear from God. We need to be humble in our own eyes. We need to do what's right before God. Jesus says, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clear enough to remove the speck that's in your brother's eye. He didn't say, don't do it. It's how you do it. Isn't this rubber meeting the road kind of stuff, you guys? This is real life stuff. This is boot camp Christianity. This is good. It doesn't feel good. But we'll be better for it. I love Jesus' teaching. Father, your word tells us that we are to ask of you to search our hearts and to try us and to know our anxieties, really, our worries, our concerns, and to see if there's any wicked way in us, and then to lead us in the way of everlasting. Father, we pray this morning that in all of our hearts today as Christians, Lord, and I don't know everyone in this room, you do, Lord. There are those who are, there are those who say they are, and then those who are not. Lord, our call is to love them and to point them to the truth. I pray for all of us in the hearing of this message that we would be true without hypocrisy, sincere before you in all honesty, and say, Lord, I invite you to examine my life. God, if you're real, you might be saying today, if you're real, God, look into my soul. Speak to me. I know what's wrong with me. Lord, you tell me what's wrong with me. Let me hear your voice, oh God, as I desire to draw near to you. I want to know you. Maybe that's your prayer this morning. Maybe you're someone today, you're a Christian, but you've fallen away from walking with God. And maybe it's gotten so bad that you are with bubbles down at the other end of the hallway. And you're here today saying, man, who told you? I don't know anything. I don't know Fred, and I don't know bubbles. But God knows you, and his finger is upon you because he loves you, and he wants to reach you. But there's something between you and him, and that thing is called sin, the Bible says. Sin has separated us from God. You need to come to Christ. He's ordained this entire moment. Don't miss it. He loves you. Don't push him away. Father, lead us, empower us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Those Who Follow Jesus, Part 2. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, we don't always understand what God's doing, but the Bible tells us that one day we will. The question is, do we know God personally? Many believe there's a God and that he's powerful, but having faith in God is to know and understand that he cares about you immensely. God's power could force obedience, but instead, he gives us the freedom to choose to come to him through our own free will. So, if you're wondering what that means to have a personal relationship with God, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll learn about things like how our sin is separating us from God and how God has made a way through his son Jesus Christ to get right with him. Again, it's that tab labeled Know God, and it's there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.